Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Since it's a long gospel, you might be seated. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate which is coming to me." So the father divided up his property between them, and after a few days the younger son collected all his belongings and went off to a distant land, where he squandered his inheritance on dissipate living. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine happened in that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend to his swine. And he longed to eat the pods which were fodder for the swine, but no one gave him anything. Coming to his senses at last, he thought, "How many in my father's house, hired hands, have plenty to eat, and here I am, dying of hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired workers.'" So he got up and he went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran out to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. But his son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But his father ordered his servants, "Quickly bring out the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fatted calf and slaughter it. Let us celebrate a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is found." And then the celebration began. The older son, meantime, was out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants, asked him what this might mean. And the servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf, because he has him back safe and sound." And he became angry and refused to enter the house. But his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. But you never gave me even a young goat to feast with my friends. But when this son of yours returns, the one who swallowed up his property in dissipate living, for him you slaughtered the fatted calf." And the father said, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is found." The Gospel of the Lord. I'm going to use an image of a Rembrandt painting. But let me introduce the parable before we begin our reflection. The prodigal son, we call it, is meant to be the story of the good father, not so much the prodigal son. It's found only in Luke. It's one of those extraordinary teachings of Jesus that appears only in Luke. this one maybe, and the Good Samaritan, and some others. It's the image that Jesus wants to give of our Heavenly Father, the infinite love of the Heavenly Father. Rembrandt, who died in 1669, toward the end of his life, he lived a tortured life. I became fascinated by Rembrandt when I first saw his imaging, his masterpiece, The Return of the Prodigal Son, which we will look at in a few moments. So I went to Amsterdam, tried to learn more about him. I read his life. He had a tortured life. He was very successful. He was famous, and he became very rich. His beautiful young wife, Saskia, died when she was young. He had four children in that marriage. All four predeceased him. And eventually he lost all his money. He was totally impoverished at the end of his life. So much so, he was buried in a grave with no marker. And later, that was redeveloped, but nobody knows where he's buried. So he went through extraordinary prosperity, and then radical bankruptcy and ultimate poverty. He died alone and poor and unrecognized. Toward the end of Henry Nouwen's life, this extraordinary writer familiar to most of you, I'd say, Henry Nouwen wrote this book, Return of the Prodigal Son, based on the Rembrandt painting, which is in St. Petersburg in Russia. I had the good fortune to go to St. Petersburg and to look at this painting and to reflect on it prayerfully, to wonder what this teaching comes to me from the painting. But Henry Nouwen also, toward the end of his life, Rembrandt did this masterpiece just a few years before he died, 2 years before he died. And Nouwen wrote this book about the prodigal son coming home just 4 years before he died, one of his last books. And each of them, in their own unique way, had to experience the prodigal son. They had to experience darkness. They had to experience searching for the ultimate meaning of life in the infinite love of God. Rembrandt was a very religious man. His mother was Catholic. His father was the Dutch Reformed Church, so he was dedicated to the Protestant Dutch Reformed Church. But he was a very religious man, and many of his masterpieces have to do with religion. So let me pause for a moment now, and we'll bring the screen down, and Dawn will show us an image of The Return of the Prodigal Son by Rembrandt. And let's look at this and wonder how Rembrandt interpreted chapter 15 in the Gospel of Luke. There are three main characters in this. One is the younger son, you can see him. The older son on the right, and the father in the center. And clearly, the teaching of this masterpiece has to do with the father. But in order to understand the gift of the father, we have to understand both sons. The younger son took his inheritance and left home. He rebelled. Not only did he renounce his father, he renounced his tradition. So he went off and lived a good life, spent all his money, and became radically poor. And nobody, when he had no money, nobody would help him. Not only did he lose his family, he lost his sacred tradition as a Jew, because he took care of the swine, and he longed to eat the food which was given to the pigs. And this is meant to be a statement of the ultimate renunciation of all which identified him as a son and as a Jewish man. So he decides he'll come back to his father. He's not sorry. He never says he's sorry. is just in need. And when he comes back to his father, you can see how Rembrandt interpreted his return. His head is shaven, a sign that he was a prisoner. He was a prisoner of this crazy life that he embraced. Look at his feet. The sandals are falling off his feet. On the left foot, the sandal is off. On the right foot, it's half off. This is meant to be a statement of the long and arduous journey which he took coming home to his father. He's obviously a broken man. And now look at the elder son. The elder son is tall, he's imperious, he looks down in judgment. He was a man that kept all the laws. He didn't know he was a sinner. Why, the younger son knew he was a sinner, but the elder, even though he was a sinner, angry, bitter, jealous, he had no idea that he was a sinner, and therefore he could make judgments about other people. See how Rembrandt portrays the father. He has him as a blind man. So he's asked Rembrandt, if he was blind, how did he see his son when he was far off? And Rembrandt said he saw him with his heart. You can see things with your heart. You cannot see with your eyes. The father saw him with love. He saw him with his heart. He saw him with compassion. Look at the hands of the father. Notice the left hand is a masculine hand. The left brain and the right brain. The right hand is feminine. It's long, the fingers are long, and it's a feminine hand. So Rembrandt wants to say, God is not masculine or feminine. God is all inclusive. What else do we know about the father? He's an elderly man. He's clearly extraordinary in the manner in which he welcomes his son back, even though his son does not ask for forgiveness. The father goes out to the son, and he goes out to the younger son, and he goes on to the older son. The father is the one who takes the initiative. And when he goes out to the older son, he refuses to come in because he is judgmental, he is rigid, he is jealous, and he's angry. That's his great sin. And yet, he looks superior in this painting. He's tall, and he's looking down on his brother. He's a different kind of sinner, but he's a sinner that's not on his knees. And the father, the only authority the father has, says Henry Nouwen, is the authority of compassion. Ultimately, that's the only authority any father has, is the authority of compassion. So now this is the image of God that is portrayed in the parable and is given to us in this masterpiece by Rembrandt. What else do you notice about this? The woman in the background is said to be the mother, but since it was a patriarchal society, it's the man who images the father. Doesn't mean that God is masculine, but it's the imaging of the father in a patriarchal culture. The man sitting on the right is a student. That's me, that's you. We're meant to look at this. We're meant to learn from this. We're meant to understand the infinite love of God, the compassion, the welcoming. Have you ever in your life been radically disappointed in your life, where you weren't welcome? Did somebody ever betray you in your life? Did you enter into an enterprise that collapsed and you felt like the end of the world? Everything failed you. You had nobody to support you. You had nobody to lift you up. Have you come to a church sometime when you felt rejected, you didn't fit, you didn't qualify, whatever your condition. And then you come to look at what we are meant to preach and to live, the infinite love of God. And this is a Rembrandt, and the book Return of the Prodigal Son by Henry Nouwen is an extraordinary spiritual journey. I first read that book when I was on a sabbatical. I was on a short sabbatical in 1991. I got an early copy of the book, and I went to Kenya, to the Turkana Desert, stayed with the missionaries there in the desert. Turkana people, very simple. They're poor, but they do not know they're poor. They sing, they rejoice, and they welcome people. We are so conscious of our luxury. Here we found great joy, great celebration in Turkana. And when I finished my sabbatical there, I took a longer sabbatical after that and went to Asia. But I wrote in my journal, which was on the book, I wrote that it's a story about two priests. And one priest is broken, he's human, he failed, and he goes back to the Father to experience the love of the Father. He's very human. The other son is the priest who is judgmental, he's superior, he's legalistic, and he separates people. He breaks a family. He breaks a church. I wrote this in my journal, and I came to the conclusion that I was both priests. I was speaking about myself. It was a time when I was broken, and I was looking for the infinite love of God. And there were other times when I was legalistic, judgmental, and separated people. Take a second look at this now, and what does it say to you? What does this say to you? When you reflect on this prayerfully, pause for a moment and take a second look at this. The embrace of God given only to the sinner. And I came to the conclusion in my own life that the greatest gift God gave me is my humanity, my brokenness, my need to belong, my need for forgiveness, my need to be embraced by God's love, God's understanding, and God's welcome. And therefore, when you finish reflecting on the parable and the meaning of the parable, you must conclude that you find yourself in this story, somewhere in this story, and you'll find that in this story, you will celebrate your humanity, not your perfection, not your all-holy person, but your broken person, your struggling person, your searching person, the real person. And when you celebrate your humanity, you'll find yourself in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and take a second look at Rembrandt, and you'll find yourself in this masterpiece. Amen.